Many of you will be familiar with John Green. John Green was a Scottish Presbyterian lay minister. He married his wife Mary on the 24th of August, 1857, and the very next day, their honeymoon, so to speak, they sail for Victoria. Here. They're young and energetic. He's 27, she's 22. And upon arriving here, they start work as bush missionaries. By 1860, he's holding regular Sunday services over at Yering for the Wurrung families that are camped there. His Presbyterian morals and Christian message resonate strongly with the Kulin people. At Yering, Mary gives birth to their first child, the first of 12, and she starts a school for the Wurrung children. To the Wurrung people, Mary was a mother, a midwife, a nurse, a trainer in commerce. She was a real Proverbs 31 woman. And so, a great bond of trust and friendship develops between the Greens and the Kulin peoples, leading to the establishment of Corranderk in 1963. It was the faithful work of people like John and Mary Green that formed the foundations of our church. We are indebted to their Christian work and witness. 150 years ago, where the vicarage now stands, a small timber church is built with nearby trees. And in 1871, services begin as part of the parish of Lilydale. In those days, church attendance was challenging. If it rained, the roof leaked, and all the women would get out their umbrellas to divert the streams. Friends, there was no ducted heating. But the faithful were not deterred. And it is from these humble beginnings, God, through his Holy Spirit, has worked in and through our church. For 150 years, as we have gathered on this site, our church has worshipped the Almighty God. His words have been read and preached. We have sung his praises. We have confessed our sins. We have prayed for his help. We have celebrated Holy Communion. We have used our spiritual gifts to love and serve one another. And of course, we have also reached out to this community. For 150 years, people have been baptized, married, farewelled in funerals. Souls have been saved, bodies healed, minds transformed, lives turned around. For 150 years, God's church has gathered here. His Holy Spirit has been at work among us and through us. And friends, may he continue to do so for decades to come. Today, as we begin our sermon series in the book of Acts, we travel across the globe to modern-day Turkey, to a decaying town called Antakya. Has anyone been fortunate enough to visit there? No? But we must also go back in time almost 2,000 years, back to when it was a significant Roman city called Antioch in the region of Syria. The church in Syrian Antioch flourishes. The kind of church any Christian would be happy to call home. It is here where followers of Christ are first called Christians. It's here. Friends, this is a church that is filled with the Holy Spirit. The church members have spiritual gifts, Acts 13:1. Now in the church of Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. The church members are united by the Holy Spirit. We see there is Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Now, these five names alone show us the cultural and ethnic diversity in the church. Barnabas is a Gentile Jew from Cyprus. Paul is a Pharisaic Jew educated under the Rabbi Gamaliel. Simeon, called Niger, is likely a black man from North Africa. He's probably the Simon who helped carry the cross of Jesus in Luke's gospel. While Manaen grew up with Herod Antipas, the Roman ruler over Galilee during the ministry of Jesus. So there's this huge diversity among the gathering of believers. But despite their many differences, the Church of Antioch is united by the bond of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit stirs up this church so that they are worshiping the Lord. They're fasting and they're praying. They have a real passion and a hunger for God. And verse 2, during one of their worship services, the Holy Spirit speaks. Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. The church hears. They recognize the Spirit's voice and they obey. After they have fasted and prayed, they place their hands on them and sent them off. Do you see, this church in Antioch is filled with the Holy Spirit. They're gifted by the Holy Spirit. They're united by the Spirit. They worship in the Spirit. They hear the Spirit's voice and they listen and obey it. What about us? What about our church? In our 150 years, it's worth 150th year, it's worth taking stock and reflecting, isn't it? Are we filled with God's Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit still active, alive among us? We can look back over our history and we can see all that God has done for us, all that God has done through us. But what about now? What about today? Are we, the members of Christ's body, using our spiritual gifts? Are we serving and ministering to one another? Despite our diversity, are we a united body of Christ? Reflecting on the Scottish missionary John Green, one writer says this: Green was a freak because he had almost no prejudices. Whether you're black, white, or whatever, there are few people like Green. He immediately treated Aboriginal people with respect. He could see the humanity, the dignity of the people. All Christians should be like this. Despite the diversity in the human race, we're all made in God's image and worthy of dignity. And when God brings us together in his family, the church, we are bound and united together by the Holy Spirit. Does our church display this unity? Despite our cultural, ethnic, socioeconomic differences, despite differences in our age, our education, our preferences for worship, as we come together, are we united in Christ? Because that is a sign of the Spirit's work, his fruit among us. Friends, as we meet week by week, is the Lord truly worshipped? Does the Holy Spirit stir our hearts and minds to worship the Almighty God? Are we diligent in prayer? Does the Holy Spirit speak to us through God's word? Do we listen and recognize the Spirit's voice? Do we obey the Spirit's voice? Are we confessing our sins? Friends, is our church filled with God, the Holy Spirit? Imagine you're a member of this church in Antioch that we're reading about, and the Holy Spirit says, set apart and send away Paul and Barnabas. I have great work for them to do. Do you think the church is a bit nervous? Barnabas is one of their most generous and encouraging church members. Apart from Jesus, Paul is the most gifted, most amazing teacher and theologian the world has ever seen. These are the members you desperately want in your church. These are the people you don't want them to miss a single Sunday, let alone go away on a mission trip that lasts for years. How will the church manage to survive without Paul and Barnabas? Sometimes we may be tempted to think that some church members are just too important. If this person left, or if that family left, our church would just fall apart and die. Sometimes we may be tempted to think this about ourselves. No one does more around here than I do, and without me, this church is nothing. But of course, this Spirit-filled church in Antioch knows better than that. They trust the Holy Spirit and they obey him, releasing these two pillars of the church for God's work in other places. In 1895, While still in our infancy stages, Reverend E.S. Chase becomes vicar of this church. He stays and ministers for 7 years, and great things are happening under his leadership. But then, in 1902, he's sent out for mission work in Queensland among the Aboriginals in Yarrabah. Some of you will fondly recall Gordon and Anne Hargraves. Does anyone remember their ministry here? Yes, a few of you, a fair few of you. I never met Gordon. I did have the privilege of getting to know his wife Anne at my previous parish where she worshipped. Under Gordon's leadership in 1978 to 1984, this church really thrived. It came of age. But then the Hargraves are sent out for mission work with Bush Church Aid at Parabadu. I don't even know where that is. Their departure is felt very deeply by our church. More recently, we have sent out Suze with CMS to mission work to the people of Myanmar. Under the guiding hand of the Holy Spirit, members of our church have been sent out to advance the gospel. May many more missionaries be sent out in the years to come. It's not easy when a church releases the Gordon Hargraves and the Sue Timmons. It's not easy when the church sends out the John and Mary Greens and the Pauls and the Barnabases. That is a loss that is felt. But church members are released for mission, trusting the Lord. Friends, there is only one person in this church who is indispensable. There's only one person this church cannot afford to lose. It's not you, and it's certainly not me. It's the Holy Spirit. Think about it. The Holy Spirit is the first one here on a Sunday morning, and he's the last to leave. When we go off to do our own things, the Holy Spirit continues to work in the church. When we stumble into sin or when we live a bit selfishly, the Holy Spirit is always interested in the things of God and advancing God's kingdom. If the Holy Spirit no longer dwells among us, if the Holy Spirit leaves our church, if the Holy Spirit stops talking to us and stops empowering us, then we cease to be a church. At best, we become a social group. At worst, we become a spiritually dead memorial, a spiritually dead museum of a church that once existed and flourished. God forbid that ever happens here. Friends, this year, as our church turns 150, we need the Holy Spirit more today than ever. Let us sincerely pray for the Holy Spirit to be filling us and to be working among us. Let us earnestly seek the Spirit's voice in the Bible. Let us humbly listen and obey, and let us zealously worship the triune God of the Bible, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In verse 3, the church commissions and blesses Paul and Barnabas with prayer and the laying on of hands, releasing them to go as God's missionaries. And in verse 4, we read that Paul and Barnabas are sent on their way by the Holy Spirit. From Antioch, they travel 16 miles to the Mediterranean Sea. Verse 5, at the port of Seleucia, they sail by boat to Cyprus. Is it Cyprus or Cyprus? Thank you. And arriving at the port of Salamis, they proclaim God's word immediately. They hit the ground running. They travel the island, presumably preaching wherever they go, wherever there is someone willing to listen, until they arrive at Paphos. They meet there a Jewish sorcerer, a false prophet named Bar-Jesus. Bar-Jesus, also known as Elymas, is employed by the governor. He's probably an astrologer, foretelling the future and interpreting dreams and signs. Think of horoscope writers, clairvoyants, fortune tellers. This is Elymas, the sorcerer, the wizard. Now, I know what I'm about to say won't apply to most of you. You already know this, but just in case there are some who don't. In the past, Hillsville has hosted a psychic expo. Sometimes Christians can get caught up in such demonic practices. But brothers and sisters in Christ, I implore you, don't waste your time believing horoscopes and fortune tellers. Don't bother looking to the stars or to tarot cards or to Ouija boards to guide you. Don't turn to false prophets of the occult like Elymas. You are God's children. His Holy Spirit lives in you. Go to God in prayer. Don't go to the stars. Read His prophetic word, the Bible. It is here where you will learn God's will for your life. Sergius Paulus, the Roman governor of Paphos, is an intelligent man, we're told. He's eager to hear the word of the Lord. Verse 7, he summons Paul and Barnabas and he listens with great pleasure. It's all making sense to Sergius Paulus. He genuinely considers becoming and trusting in Christ and becoming a Christian. And aware of what's happening, bar Jesus, Elymas gets very nervous. This is a huge threat for him. If Sergius converts to Christianity, he's out of a job. He loses his position, his power, his money. So bar Jesus, the sorcerer, interrupts in verse 8 and he launches this venomous attack on Paul and Barnabas, trying to turn the governor from the faith. His name is quite ironic. Bar Jesus means son of Jesus, when in reality he's a son of Satan, seeking to turn people away from Jesus. Tragically, this is often the way when we share the gospel. People hear the good news of Jesus. They're ready. They're close to converting and trusting in Christ. But then the opposition comes. A child of Satan, someone who hates Jesus, intervenes, seeking to steal and kill the faith of believers. God desires that none should perish. Satan desires that all should perish. When God sends out missionaries to proclaim the good news of Jesus, Satan sends out enemies to oppose God's mission. Paul watches Elymas' vile attack. Paul recognizes the urgency of this situation. There is a struggle going on for the soul of Sergius Paulus. His eternal salvation is on the line. It's in the balance, right? And so Paul is praying inwardly, wondering how he is going to respond. And I have no doubt that church members back in Antioch are also praying. And then suddenly, a fire starts to burn in the bones, in the heart of Paul. Verse 9, he's filled with the Holy Spirit. He looks straight at Elymas. He looks right into him. He sees Elymas for who he truly is. And inspired by the Holy Spirit, Paul, this true prophet of the Most High, rebukes this false prophet. You are a child of the devil, an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You are going to be blind for a time, not even able to see the light of the sun. Elymas, who has made a career out of looking to the stars to tell the future, can no longer even see the sun. This sorcerer who claims to be the guide for others is now groping about seeking for someone to guide him. Friends, although he is an enemy of God, Satan is no match to God. And we need not fear him. Satan has been crushed. There's an old story of an evangelist, Smith Wigglesworth. After a big preaching crusade, Wigglesworth is exhausted and he falls asleep in bed. 30 minutes later, asleep, he's suddenly woken up by the sensation of someone shaking his bed. He opens his eyes to see, well, what does he see? An evil spirit sitting at the foot of his bed. Now, I wonder what you would do if you woke up to that sight. Well, the story goes, clearing his sight, Wigglesworth looks at the demonic spirit and says, "Oh, it's only you." And he rolls back over and falls right back to sleep. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Paul has overcome this child of the devil. And verse 12, when the proconsul sees what happens, he believes, for he's amazed at the teaching about the Lord. Friends, we see Paul and Barnabas have been sent off by a spirit-filled church. And Paul and Barnabas are on a spirit-led mission. They are commissioned by God. The Holy Spirit fills them and sends them out so that souls can be saved through faith in Jesus Christ. And of course, God's mission continues today. Our church, we have been commissioned by God, co-missioned. We are partners in God's mission. Go and make disciples of all nations is what the risen Lord Jesus says. We are filled up and sent out by the Holy Spirit to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ so that souls may be saved through faith in Christ Jesus. Our mission field is different to Paul and Barnabas. We are called to reach the Yarra Valley for Christ, but our mission continues. There are still so many who have not heard, who do not know, and who have not responded to the good news of Jesus. I have no doubt over the last 150 years, God has used our church. God has used the members of this church to bring lost people into a saving knowledge of Jesus, and we praise the Lord that he has used us in this way. But friends, what about now? What about the next 150 years? What does the future of our church hold? Will this church continue to answer the call of God? Will we go on a spirit-led mission to win the Yarra Valley for Christ? Friends, this is my deep desire and my prayer for us. Jonathan Goforth was commissioned by the Canadian Presbyterian Church to start a new mission in the province of Honan, China. Did I say that one right? Anyone know? Honan? Hanan, thanks Wayne. Hanan, China. Before he and his wife depart, Hudson Taylor writes to them, "We understand North Hanan is to be your field. Brother, if you would enter that province, you must go forward on your knees. Go forward on your knees in prayer." Samuel Zwemer, a 19th century missionary to Bahrain, famously said, "The history of missions is the history of answered prayer." Brothers and sisters, we are a Holy Spirit-filled church on a Holy Spirit-led mission. But that mission starts and ends with prayer. For without God, we can do nothing. In the coming weeks, we'll continue to explore what it looks like to be on a mission for God and what it looks like to be a spirit-filled people. But today, what I'm calling us to do is to pray. Pray for our church that we might see more of the Holy Spirit at work among us, and pray for our church's mission, that we might be reaching more and more people in the Yarra Valley for Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks for all that you have done among us and through this church. And later this year, we will have a chance to celebrate our 150th anniversary of your faithfulness to us, and we look forward to that. But Father, we do not want it to stop at 150 years. We want your Holy Spirit to continue to be alive and active among us. So Father, we do pray that you will pour your Spirit more and more so that we might be using our gifts, that we might experience unity, that we might be stirred to worship you, and most importantly, that we might hear your voice and respond to it. And Father, I pray for each member here that they will sense this call on their life, that they too have been commissioned to be your servants and to take the good news of Jesus Christ to the people in their families and neighborhoods and workplaces and schools and with their friends. Father, I pray that you lead us and go before us and that you empower us to be faithful proclaimers of the good news of Jesus. It is for his sake we pray. Amen.